This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's just close our eyes. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for just a living testimony, Father, of the miracle that you just showed before our eyes, Lord God, of the testimony, Lord God, that you have, Lord, for your people, Lord God, that just speaks volumes, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you are alive, Lord God, and you want to establish that relationship in our hearts, within our minds, with everything that we are, Lord God. We are connected with you, Father, in such a special way. And your Spirit, Father, just breathes on us, Lord God, and that life that we have, that we see around us, that we experience inside of our hearts, Lord God, is just such an amazing blessing from you, Father. For who can define life, Lord God, but you that created it, Father. And that is such a privilege, Father, of standing in this place and hearing, Father, the love that you speak, Father, the language that you speak to each and every individual, Father. As you speak to us, Lord God, we realize, Lord God, we are so dependent upon you, Father. For every word that you speak in truth, Lord God, brings about a change in our hearts and just brings about life, Lord God. And that's the testimony that we could have just seen, Lord God, through Liam and Alicia as well, Father. And Lord, we just pray your blessing over them, Father, that testimony will not stop there, Father, but it will just increase, Father. It will increase in momentum. It will grow in stature, Father God, as you just release them into that place as well, Father God, where they're able to minister to those around them as well. And the words they speak and the testimony that they share cannot be rebuked or cannot be spoken against, Father, because it's their lives and their marriage is a testimony, and LJ is a testimony, Father, of what you want to do for them and do with them, Lord God. And that is alive and true for each and every person, Father, that connects with you, Father, that gives their heart to you completely, fully, and utterly, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Father, I just pray, just ask, Father God, that you would use my words, Father, to be the light and the truth, Father, that you want to shine in our lives, Father God, that we're able, Lord, to just humble ourselves before your word, and Father, just say, God, do with us as you will. Form us, make us as you want us to be, Lord God, that we can be the purpose and the destiny that you've called us to be within this place, Lord God, in the place where we walk, in the places where we work, and even in the house that we share. Lord, we love you, and we glorify your name, in the name of Jesus alone. Amen. Amen. I will maybe start with just this word and say it's, if the word sounds harsh this morning, that is not the idea. The idea is not to bring about something or force an emotion or anything like that. And it's actually amazing, JP actually shared half of my sermon already, so, and that is already done, so I can really see that God wants to bring something. And it's really a place where God has been stirring in our hearts, and especially the focus being on prayer. And as I say, it might sound harsh when I say it. It is not the idea. It is simply God's word telling you, listen, this is where you are. This is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to experience. And this was really the picture that I got as well, that as with Peter in the boat, when Jesus appeared in the storm, they were afraid. They were really afraid for their lives, and they really were in a situation that they could not save themselves. And as they were crying for help, here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now for me already, that would blow my mind as well. As I'm sure you could see from the verse as well, that they thought it was a ghost, and they responded, but they were even more afraid. Now they're not even afraid of the storm anymore. Now there's a ghost with a storm. And that just, yeah, makes a bad situation, seems to make it worse. And then Peter, in this midst of his confusion, says, Jesus, if that is you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking towards Jesus. And in the midst of this chaos and this fear and this trembling, He starts looking around and seeing, but these are waves and I'm standing on water and this is not physically possible. What am I doing here? And in that moment, he starts sinking. And in that place, then he cries out again, Jesus saves me. And Jesus takes him and says, oh, you of little faith. Why did you start to doubt? You were already on the water. You were already doing the impossible. There was nothing that could be more impossible for you than to walk on water after me. And it was simply God telling us, listen, what you are thinking, what you are doing, is on a physical level where you feel comfortable. Because we're inside this boat, we feel comfortable, even though this boat is sinking in the midst of the storm, and we're in this place, and we're saying, okay, God, we're going to die now. And Jesus tells us to get out of the boat. That's even more mind-boggling. Now, I have to get out of the boat where I actually feel more comfortable in the storm that is actually already sinking. Now, I have to get out of the boat. And that's exactly what I sometimes experience my own prayer life is like. Because God is calling you to step out of that place where you feel comfortable. Where you feel comfortable sharing what God is showing to your own heart. Whether it's a word of knowledge, whether that's a word of expression, whether that's a word of praise to Him, or whether it's confessing sin in your own life, or revealing sin in a brother's life, a sister's life. Because that is a place where you really feel uncomfortable because what if I am wrong? This is exactly what Peter was thinking. What am I doing here? This is not possible, what I'm doing walking on water. I should not be able to do this. And we start to doubt, we start to fear, and we want to get back in the boat. Because that is where we feel comfortable. And it's also the question this morning that JP asked and said, but who has a word to share? Everybody should be jumping up and sharing something small, insignificant maybe for you, but for a person in the back row, a huge word that you just give to them, it speaks to their heart, speaks to their soul, and God just reveals to them something of themselves that He already knows. He already knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden from Him. Every sin is revealed. Every dark place you've been. Every brokenness you've suffered. Every fear you're experiencing currently. He knows it. And the amazing part is He still loves us the same. There's nothing that you could do to make Him love you more than He already does, than He already has 2,000 years ago when He said, I will die on the cross for you. If you are the last person on earth to accept my call, to accept my grace, I would do it happily. And that grace is just extended to us every day in the midst of the confusion that we suffer, in the midst of the faithless lives that we live. And again, God is calling us from the boat of comfort where we are basically standing, but where we are also lost a bit. Because God is calling us to step out and follow His voice. Step out in obedience and just be that person that says, I will obey, even if it costs my life. And it's challenging. Because this was just something that I wanted to equate with prayer, because our prayer lives is so significant. It is so special. But then the question becomes, what does your prayer life say about your relationship with the living God? And it's to challenge you to say, but what is my prayer life like? How much time am I actually spending with God? Really focused, really dedicated. And that's where many times that I felt in my life that I'm praying to the roof. I'm just going through the motions. It's just, there's no connection. And so many times we get into that place where we just get comfortable with where we are. We're not growing. We're not maturing. We're not showing the fruit that God wants us to actually show. Simply because we're comfortable where we are at. Because to do more, it will cost us. It will cost us a lot. It might cost us everything. So many testimonies that I've heard in the last few months of Christians in Muslim countries that meet the Lord, get saved, and they lose everything because they get physically assaulted by their own family members to repent and say, come back to being a Muslim. And they just say, no. I've met someone. I've met something. There's something that has changed within me that I cannot go back to the comfort that I was in. And even if it means if I lose my family. And that is what most of them do, because their wives and children get taken away from them because they are impure. They've lost the faith. And they are shunned out of the community. And many times their own family members even kills them because of the shame that the family now bears because they have renounced Muhammad. And this is real life today. Not 1,000, 2,000 years back. This is today. People struggling with their faith. Where I sometimes feel we as a very Christian nation are very comfortable with the privileges that we have. The lives that we live. The not-so-challenges that we face. We are not forced to a place where you are forced to your knees and say, God, there is no other way. There is no other road for me to take. There is no other name that I can call. It is only you. And I've made that choice. You have made that choice. Otherwise, you would not be sitting here. But the challenge still remains. Where is your faith going? What does your prayer life say about your relationship with God? That is the challenge that we face. That we have to grow and bear the fruit that we are called to bear. Live the lives that we are supposed to live. And our prayer life is basically the start of that life. Because it's only from there that you're able to grow in faith. Because many times we come, and I've seen this in people, we pray, but you can hear immediately. There's no relationship in that prayer. And it's almost as if we come as beggars before God and say, God, can I please have this or that? Have a wife, have a husband, have a child, have a new car, have a house, not live on the streets anymore. And what's the expectation when you have that kind of mentality? You don't really have an expectation. You're just hoping to get something might help you a little. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of Christians in our society, in our world, is that mentality that we ask something, but we don't really know if we're going to get it. Because we don't have that relationship. It's like going to your father. If your father is still alive, or there's something that a child goes to his father and asks him, and the word even says that, I lost complete track of where I was. It is Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks him a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him a fish, will give him a serpent? And it just speaks about relationship. Most fathers know what it means to bless their child, to be a blessing to their child. And sometimes we miss that as well, where we sin and cause chaos in the family. But you still have some degree of understanding what it means to give something to your son if he asks you. And the son has the privilege to ask because he has the relationship. It's much easier for me to go to my father and ask him for his car keys. I quickly need to drive somewhere than it is to go to, I don't know, somewhere I don't know now. You've got no relationship with me. You've got no understanding of who I am, if I've got a driver's license, if there's nothing. So there's nothing that you can actually say. You can't say yes because there's no understanding for you to, will I get my car back at least? In one piece. But that relationship is so important because that is something that speaks of your heart, your understanding. And if your father loves you, the more it just means that you will actually might get something. Now, the favorite thing that my boys ask me is, can I get that Lego, please? That is their number one question, it feels to me, most of the time. And this is after they've got these small books. And now there's Legos, everything that you could get, everything your heart's desire is in there. And they've marked it from 1 to 10. This is the most important. And this is the one with the nice features. And this and that and that and that. And they get so excited. They come to me, Papa, can I get that, please? No, you have enough. You have more than enough. It's the whole floor is filled with everything that you have already. No. And it's not that I'm nasty or ugly. I thought about this morning and said, but are we maybe preparing our children to a sense to experience, not rejection, but no? If we just say no, keep saying no to our children. So we have to say yes at some stage. Because if we represent, we are a representative of God the Father, and we just keep saying no, then he will say, maybe I must go to God and ask for him for Lego. Maybe he might say yes. But that might be the experience that you have. And also not the wrong image, but we also have an understanding. You can't have everything you ask for, especially if you're not paying for it. There's no understanding in your question. Yes, you get it, and it's fun, and it's, but what will you do with it? You might enjoy it for a while, and then after a while, I step in it, I get angry again, and then we're back to square one. No more Lego. But so many times, that's our hearts as well. We've got everything mapped out for our lives, planned to a T. Well, then you're planning better than me, at least. But we've got it. I know what I want. I want that house. I want that wife. I want that husband. And God, yes, please. And God's heart is for us, but so many times I think I'm thankful for the times I asked for something, he never gave it to me because I would have messed it up completely. And his understanding and his wisdom was much more than I could have hoped for at that stage in my life. And I'm thankful. Today I'm happily married, 4 kids, very blessed, very busy. But so many times you forget, but this is such an amazing gift. This is not something that you can just say it's mine. It's a privilege, it's a gift, but it's also a responsibility. Because you can see it in the world out there when husbands make the wrong choices, when wives make the wrong choices. The state of society is devastating. And my wife's a teacher. And she sees the children and the devastation and the brokenness that is out there. And I mean, it's not just out there. It can be inside the church as well. And that just speaks of that relationship we're supposed to have with God. Being able to humble ourselves before Him and say, God, here I am. Completely broken, completely corrupt, but I need your help. And we have to stand on that place and say, God, just show me. And it was such a privilege to be at the men's camp because that was such an awesome time that we had. Because God was there from the moment we got there, God was there. You could feel His presence. You could feel something's about to happen to change. And for so many men, it just happened. Many you thought you would never give his life to the Lord runs to the front. He wants to have this knowledge of this feeling that he's experiencing inside this place. The peace of God, the love of God, and it's calling to us. It is something that we cannot ignore. We can try. We can't do it for very long. Won't be very successful. Because it's that gift that you can say no to, but afterwards you always think, what if? And the other part that I think sometimes fills us with dread, especially in our prayer lives, is if we have to stand in faith for something more significant. And especially the testimony that Jacques and Linda shared as well. When God challenges us to do something above and beyond what you're comfortable with. And that is sometimes the real part that you have to say, but God, is this really you? And if it edifies the kingdom, glorifies God's name, 99.9% of the time, that is something that God wants you to do and He wants you to react to. But I don't know if you're like me, I've many times I felt, yes, I have to pray for somebody. And I've prayed for them. People that are sick and they don't get healed. That's a tough one. Lord, what's wrong here? Is my faith wrong? Am I missing you? That is where the question then comes in. Do we have that power when we pray? And what JP also said, do you have that expectation? Because the expectation equates with what you experienced from God previously. And it's part of your testimony. And that faith and that power is so precious. But sometimes God tells us, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you miss that opportunity that I gave you? And I wanted to speak about David and his anointing as a person and the story that we see in the Bible. And just as we live our lives in faith, our prayer lives, basically, it's a very unique way that you look at David's life if you equate it to your prayer life. Because David was anointed king of Israel at a very young age, when he was not even thought of being somebody in the house, because he was not even in the house when the prophet came to anoint him king. He was looking after his father's sheep in the field. But God chose him. And when he anointed him, and this is something I just want to share in 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And that is the important part that I want us to focus on. Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. He was still a shepherd boy. He was still looking after his father's flock. He did not get a special phone or SMS from God to say, you're now the king, now you've got everything. He had to remain true to what God put before him and in his hand. And that story goes way beyond. Because he was able to understand, but God placed me here. And that's the precious story that you see throughout David's life. He had an understanding of God the Father. And he could relate it back to his life and say, but this is what God wants. This is where God is leading me. And what we as Christians today have the privilege, which most of the Israelites do not even have. We have the privilege of the Holy Spirit within us, alive, guiding us, giving us wisdom, helping us to make choices between right and wrong. That's still a small voice when you want to do that thing you know you're not supposed to. Make a choice that you know you are not capable of making now where you are. But David had that place where he was able just to walk in that faith and say, but this is the work that the Lord gave me. I have to be diligent in what I do. I have to be excellent with what I do. And as we can see from Scripture, David grew in that stature as a man while he was still a shepherd boy. And while he was a shepherd, he was able to make critical choices. When the lion, the bear came to eat of the lamb or take the lamb, he had a choice. I'm the future king. I might get hurt in this battle if I go after that lion or that bear and lose my life. Well, this is the work that I have to do for my father. When I go back to my father and explain to him, I did my very best. I gave everything to protect your sheep that I was responsible for. And he made that choice to go after the lion, after the bear, to take the lamb from their mouth. And if they attacked him, he would grab them by the beard and would beat them with his staff to death. Now that's an amazing man in my book. Even with this promise. But he also knew that promise. With that promise came that relationship with God. That if I do this, there's a promise of God that I can hold on to. And I have a choice to follow through or step back. Step out of that boat of comfort and follow after the voice that is calling me in the midst of the storm. And allow me just to experience something that is beyond belief. To kill a lion and a bear with your bare hands. And that speaks of that place where you have faith in the relationship that you've established, or that God has established with you first. And as you grow with that relationship, there's a testimony in your life, there's fruit in your life. And that you could see in David's life. He was prepared to the point where Goliath entered onto the scene. He was ready. He's killed his lion. He's killed his bear. He knows God is, who his God is. And he knows this man is calling out to the armies of Israel, causing them to fear and tremble. This is not right. You cannot speak about my God like that. Is there not a cause to stand up to this man? And we all know the story of what David did. But there was one part that always troubled me to some degree. And this is in 1 Samuel 17, 40. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine. Why did he take 5 stones? My thinking was that maybe in his mind, yeah, God will let me kill him with 5 stones. I just need to take 5. Now in my mind, sling, ketty, clippy, that can work. Is this what you want to take against the giant? But what does a sling do? So I actually did some research and I actually saw, but if you want to kill a giant, you have to get a sling that can throw a rock like this. Now this is a giant killer. And there's actually a video that I can share with you if you like about a guy in just north of Italy, I think. He hits a watermelon at 25 meters 3 out of 17 times. And cracks that melon quite good. So this was the type of stone that David took. Now you can think, I can fit it in my back pocket. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth one in the sling. So if these were the stones that David took, this was as many as he could carry. He took everything he could because he knew he was going to face a giant. He was stepping out of faith to say, but this is the battle that I chose. And these are the weapons that I'm taking along. But this is the faith that I have to kill a giant. I'm not sure what the Lord wants to do, so I need to take everything. And that speaks of power. That equates for me the power of our prayers. What is the power of your prayer? Is it this little stone? Illusion. Thinking you're going to kill a giant with this. Or faith, a miracle. It's still a miracle to hit a giant with one stone, the first stone. I checked that video. That guy really flew that rose. Those rocks flew like bullets. It's an amazing video to watch. And then you get perspective of what David could do. And he did it with one stone to kill a giant. Or to floor him. And then went to him, took his sword and killed him with his own sword. Now you can go and read that part again. It's amazing. When you start thinking about pebbles and rocks of faith that can get the job done one time. So what does your prayer rocks look like? If somebody asks you to go pray for somebody with cancer, what will your prayer look like? What is God challenging you to go and pray for somebody that is really sick? The doctors can't do anything. What does your faith say to your heart? No, I'm busy today. Maybe next week. Next week when that person is dead. In the comfort of the boat that you feel comfortable, confined, not needing to step out onto the waves of uncertainty, not sure of where God is or how he wants to lead you to the place where he's called you to be, by his side. And with a smile, saying, I love you. I want you to stand here next to me so we can look at the waves together, jump the waves together. It's challenging. But once you start to realize that there's a relationship first. And that is what prayer is all about. Because so many times you will fail in your prayers. Not because you can't do it. Why do we pray? We are praying for something that we cannot do ourselves. We are asking a God for mercy to do something that we know we physically cannot do. And the only way for this to happen is if God reveals his heart to you and you are able to speak to whatever the situation, whatever the sickness is. But that requires a heart that is able to listen, hear God's voice. But sometimes that prayer is just to step out in faith and say, I want to pray for you. And for that person, it might be the first time that somebody is actually saying, I want to pray with you. Why? Why do you want to pray for me? Because I believe in God. And you can just pray to their heart. You are praying to that relationship, and your relationship to God is revealed to that person. And there's a new understanding of who God is for that person. He or she might never get healed. But they might experience the love of Christ in you through your prayer for them, as God is revealing words of knowledge, wisdom, whatever God is wanting to do with that special prayer. It enables relationship in them to be formed, and your relationship with God to be sustained. So it's not about healing, praying for cancer. Yes, we can do that. We're supposed to do that. But not with pebbles. Not with things that has no significance, that has no power. So where does your faith stand this morning? What does your prayer life say about your relationship with God? Are you picking up pebbles? Or are you looking for power? And God is calling us, each and every one of us, to walk into that place and say, God, here I am. I don't know where you're sending me or how many stones I must cast at that situation, how many prayers. It's irrelevant. If you're calling me, I will stand up and I will pray. I will get the faith that is required to kill that giant, to bring that healing, to establish that relationship, to let our relationship grow. I want to end off with Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking that relationship with God? Your prayers will reflect that. Your life will reflect that. It's an amazing place to be when God comes through. But there's also a place where you have to grow in faith, in testimony. And a simple way to do that, we've got a list up there. Simple things. Bible school. A good place to start with your faith, to grow your faith, to grow your relationship. Small group as a church. Foundational courses that we've mentioned already. These are small steps for somebody that needs to grow, needs to step in. Still young Christians needing to learn what it means to step out in faith. And then outreaches. Such a blessing. A place where you go to bless and to serve, but you get so much blessing in return. It is unbelievable. It blows your mind. It cracks open your soul, and the spirit just wants to jump in and take hold of every area of your part of your being. But it takes faith to step out and say, God, I will follow you. Where you want to lead me to grow in that relationship. And we can only grow once we step out and say, here I am, Lord. Take me to the next step. Take me to the lion. Take me to the bear. Before I'm able to face the giant that I need to slay. Okay, I just want everybody to quickly get to their feet. Close your eyes. As I've spoken this morning, the Spirit has been revealing things to your heart. He's been tugging at the chains. There's some chains in some people's hearts this morning that he wants to break free this morning. As every eye is closed, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are here in this place, that you revealed your heart to so many people this morning. God, I know you are calling people for a relationship, Father. You are sitting at that place, knocking at that door, saying, I want to come in and dine with you. But that door remains shut, Lord, out of ignorance, out of fear, whatever the reason could have been, Lord. You have knocked, Lord. You have showed your heart. You have showed your love. You have showed everything on the cross for us. But so many times, Lord God, we've kept that door closed for whatever the reason might be. And you're calling us to step out in faith and say, but I need to be in that place where I need to open that door. And just step into that place out of the safety of the boat and say, God, I need this relationship. I need to meet with you. I need to see what you can do in my life. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. To say, God, here I am. I want to know you in this place. I want to know you in that capacity. I want to know you that I can trust you. If that's you, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. Then I just want to speak. As I spoke this evening, this morning, there were some people that I just felt that there was a, it was like a constriction in your heart. You just knew that there was fear in your heart. Something that binds you, something that keeps you back, something that steals your joy and your freedom that we are supposed to experience in Christ. And you experienced it and said, but God, it's that thing. It's that thing again. I can't get rid of it. It doesn't want to let me go. Why does it have to be this morning? If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand as well. Just to say, God, that chain does not want to let go. That thing does not want to let me go. Whatever it might be. That God has revealed it to your heart. You know what it is. But I am here this morning to claim and proclaim that Jesus is here to set you free from that chain. To set you free from that bondage, whatever it might be. You just have to say, God, take it. And that's what we felt this morning as well, that God is the great physician. You can only come to him and say, God, here, I'm hurt here. And he can heal you. You don't go to a doctor and say, I'm fine. Everything is okay. Nothing is wrong. The doctor will just ask, what are you doing here then? You can just stay at home. Go and have fun with the kids, whatever. So if you're in this place this morning and there's something that you just feel God needs to take from you, a burden, please hear his heart and hear his knock and say, I love you. With everything that I am, with everything that I gave on the cross, it's proof enough for you to say, I love you. Just want to make another invitation as well. If you feel your faith is lacking, your prayer life is lacking, and you just need to say, God, I need to change something. For every hand that was raised, I want to invite you to the front. And for everybody that feels that something needs to change in your prayer life, to change in the way that your faith is revealing your relationship with God needs to change, I want to invite you to the front as well. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious blood. Lord Jesus, that you shed for us on the cross. For your promise and everything that you gave with that sacrifice, so that we can be made new. We thank you, Lord, Father, that your blood was shed, your body was broken, and we've received the promise from God to say that it is done. Nothing else is required. We just have to make that choice and say, thank you, Lord. As you receive the wine and the bread, I want you just to take it and just take a while. 2 minutes. Just think about your prayer life, what it says about your relationship with your Father.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.